Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I almost feel like saying, hola. The radio people are off for a couple of weeks for a vacation, but I know you guys kind of like those little episodes. So I thought, well, you know what? I'll just do one. I know what they would want to talk about if I was doing it this week. First thing they'd want to talk about is Britney Spears. They'd want to talk about what happened this week. How everybody all of a sudden is just, hey, I didn't know. Especially with Jamie Lynn. So awful. There's a lot of misconceptions, too. But then there was some surprise stuff. Yeah, Jamie filing some paperwork, shifting the blame away from him to Jody Montgomery, who's the temporary conservator. And the Jamie says, oh, I was greatly saddened to hear of Britney's difficulties and suffering, and says there needs to be an investigation into those claims. What? It's a reply that he should have done a long time ago, and it's essentially in response to Britney's attorney, Sam, who wanted to appoint Jody as a permanent conservator. Because don't forget that Jamie used to be the sole conservator and then gave up his powers back in 2019 when he beat Britney's child. So, you know, Britney said, blamed everything in the court appearance on her dad. So Jamie's like, I'm concerned about the management and care of my daughter. Based on her statements to the court, Mr. Spears is concerned that the petition to appoint Jody Montgomery does not reflect her wishes. So it kind of sounds like he's trying to do an end around. Jody, you're not the right person for the job, so right now it's going to be me. Because he's saying that Jody's been in charge since 2019, so if Britney's upset, and if Britney had all these horrible things happen to her, then it's Jody's fault. Because he says, unlike Miss Montgomery and Mr. Ingham, Mr. Spears does not speak or meet with Miss Spears' medical team. And he's not permitted to, nor does he have the opportunity to provide any input into his daughter's current medical treatment, diagnosis, or therapy. Mr. Spears doesn't participate in or discuss Miss Spears' personal affairs with her, such as issues related to her self-care, marriage, and reproductive desires. Mr. Spears is simply not involved in any decisions related to Miss Spears' personal care of medical or reproductive issues. Well, if Jody is the temporary conservator, which she is, then he's kind of right that it's really Montgomery. But you have, let's face it, for the first decade of the whole thing, it was Britney's dad. So when she talks about all these horrible things, then she's blaming most of it on her dad. But remember, Britney did say that she's not too pleased with Jody either right now. And anything that's happened to Britney since September 2019 has probably been because of Jody. And Jamie says that in prior years, when he was the conservator of the person, he did everything in his power to support and care for Miss Spears' well-being and her personal decisions, including marriage. That he loves Britney unconditionally. Now, Britney called the conservatorship abusive. Told the judge that her father was controlling and acting against her will. And that after she was forced to take a psych test, her father called to tell her that she'd failed the test, go to rehab. Did that happen? Yeah. But has it been happening since September 2019? Is it Jody? And then maybe Jody's telling Britney that it is because of the dad. Which Britney would believe. And Jamie, you know, does this filing, and then Jody responds. It says, quote, the conservatorship of the person for Britney Spears includes multiple layers of protection for Britney, including the court investigator, which regularly updates the court, her medical team, and then Jody. And that Jody's a licensed private professional fiduciary and has to follow a code of ethics. And that Jody Montgomery's been a tireless advocate for Britney and for her well-being, working with approval from doctors. And that Jody's always been ready, willing, and able to let Britney bring any issue up before the court. Now, one thing that we did see in Jody's response was that Jody is the one who has assembled the medical team. Because it says from the very beginning of her appointment in September 2019, Ms. Montgomery and the medical team that she assembled have had one primary goal, to assist and encourage Brittany in her path to no longer needing conservatorship of the person. And that Brittany wanting to marry and have a baby is unaffected by the conservatorship. That's not true. That's... Now, the way that it's qualified is that Brittany's choice to marry and to start a family have never been impacted by the conservatorship, while Miss Montgomery has been conservator of the person. So she's laying it all at the feet of Jamie. And then, because Miss Montgomery does not have any power or authority over the conservatorship of the estate, every expenditure made by Miss Montgomery or Brittany has to first be approved by Jamie Spears as the conservator of the estate. Practically speaking, since everything costs money, no expenditures can happen without going through Mr. Spears and Mr. Spears approving them. So, and then Jody saying, oh, I want Brittany to make more meaningful progress and things like that. And then there was some bad news. Some really bad news. Bessemer Trust wants to walk away. This is the one, Bessemer Trust is the one that got Lou out of there. Bessemer Trust is the one that made Jamie Lynn give up wanting to be trustee. Bessemer Trust was going to be the co-conservator. They're going to keep an eye on Jamie. And now they want out. And the reason I guess they want out is because, look, they're a massive company. They got $100 billion in assets. And they don't need the headache. Because they said that they'd been told that Brittany's conservatorship was voluntary and under consent. But because she made all those statements that said she was opposed to it, they said, well, we're going to leave. That's not the right thing to do, though. I know why you're doing it. You think it's going to help, but it's not, because it's just going to put Jamie in charge. And also don't, when you see something that says, I hate these kind of clickbait headlines, where it said that Britney Spears had requested to have her father removed for her conservatorship and was turned down. First of all, that was not the estate. It wasn't removing him. It was, and it had already been decided months ago. I talked to you about it, that Bessemer Trust and Jamie were going to be co-conservators of the estate. That they had wanted to be the sole conservator of the estate. And the judge had ruled before, but nobody had sent in the paperwork. So that decision had already been made. So when you see some headline saying, oh, this is gets even worse, this already happened. So that's what's going on with Brittany. Also this week, Allison Mack was sentenced. If you recall, somebody asked, I think I said that in my opinion, that she wouldn't get more than 5 years, and probably if she had been in jail the entire time during the trial, and, you know, leading up to the trial and post trial and all of this kind of stuff, that she probably would have just been granted time served. Turns out I was right. Because she got 3 years in jail, and it's been 3 years since she was arrested. 3 years and 3 months. So she'd be done. She'd be out. She'd be bye. Instead, now in September, the end of September, she's got to turn herself in. She's going to be in there for probably, what, it's federal, so you don't do the whole three, but it's not like in California where you'd be out after a third. She'd probably serve two and a half maybe. She gets 1,000 hours of community service, $20,000 fine. She said that she's completely changed. Jessica Joan, who was an actress who was a victim in the whole NXIVM thing, and especially at the hands of Allison Mack. I mean, she called Allison a predator, an evil human being, a danger to society with no care, remorse, or empathy for her victims. She called Allison Mack and Keith Raniere the most evil monsters I've met. That was in a victim impact statement. And then after the sentence, Joan said, Jessica, I always want to call her Joan. Jessica said that she didn't think that Allison really feels remorse at all. Quote, Allison herself gained pleasure in creating harm and destruction to her victims. That type of evil was ingrained in her far before meeting Keith. He just activated and cultivated it. In that courtroom today, I looked into the eyes of a sociopath and I saw no remorse. But it was the prosecutors. They asked the judge for leniency because they got their due. They got Keith Raniere, 120 years. Sentencing guidelines called for Allison to serve 14 to 17 and a half years. But when you do that, when you talk, I mean, Claire Bronfman got 7 years. And then Nancy and Lauren Salzman, who were also turned on by Allison, they get sentenced next this month, I think. This month or next month. And she's like, oh, I'm getting a degree from UC Berkeley, and I've been doing that for, you know, a year and a half. And I mean, this, she was awful. Jessica Jones, correct. And Allison spent 11 years in NXIVM. She said she was brainwashed and blames it all on Keith Raniere. But she got the deal because prosecutors said that Allison gave her audio recordings and other details that helped convict Raniere. And Allison's mom was there, told the judge, hey, Allison's slowly unwinding from the NXIVM cult. And Allison's mom said, oh, our daughter stays in bed and sometimes just cries all day, and then there's rage and then feeling regret for losing control. But I told you, that's all she would get. She'd be out today if she had just been in the whole time. James Franco made a deal. Nothing's going to happen to him. He's going to pay $2.2 million to settle the lawsuit that Sarah Kaplan and Tony Gall filed. That was back in 2019. Because they said that James Franco and his acting school partners engaged in widespread inappropriate and sexually charged behavior towards female students, sexualized their power as a teacher and an employer by dangling the opportunity for roles in their projects. They paid $300 a month essentially to be abused by Franco and Vince Gelovette, whose name I hadn't seen in a while. Yeah, Franco's attorney said, oh no, none of this is true, and it's just, they're just trying to get money. But the settlement means they're going to drop everything. But it's a class. It was named a class action suit, so other people who also were in this acting school, they can opt in. They get 2 months. It's like those little postcards you get in the mail or emails. Oh, do you want your $1.42? But the good news is, because it was a class action, you actually got details of the settlement. It's usually hidden, but class actions, obviously, because there's going to be postcards and everything to go to these other people. So the two named plaintiffs, they get about $1 million. And then $1.3 million goes into a common fund for the rest of the members, minus all the attorney's fees. So depending on how many acting students there are and how many go for it, I mean, if there's only one, then they probably get almost $1 million. But if there's 1,000, then, you know, you do the math. And one of the, you know, unfortunate things is, as part of the agreement, everybody's going to release a joint statement where, you know, James Franco can continue to deny the allegations. He can say, no, it's not true. It's not true. Yeah, there was this settlement, but it's still not true. He's allowed to say that. So that kind of sucks. And I know the other thing that they would have wanted to talk about, although it probably would have been too late, because we usually talk about it on Thursdays. We talk on Thursdays, and for it comes out on Fridays. And Friday is the day that the whole Zendaya and Tom Holland pictures came out. I mean, one kiss will keep that thing going for another 4 years. It's such a setup. If you look, they're laughing, and then they kiss. But everybody who's talking about it just says, oh, look at that romantic kiss. But that's not the order. That's not the sequence. And the other thing you have to look at, I think the photo was taken by Grigsby, who is a fashion photographer, so really knows Zendaya really well. Just kind of the go-to guy for fashion photos. And the other person who's given a credit is one of Tom Holland's best friends. It's this guy from London who didn't take the picture because it happened in Los Angeles. I think that the guy from London is actually in New York right now. And his photos are generally setup photos. They're photos that people want taken. And I think Grigsby might have taken... He's been taking photos of Angelina Jolie lately, I think, or something like that. When she came out of Johnny Lee Miller's, it could have been the other guy, not Grigsby, but the other guy who's in New York. So, anyway. I would do a blind, but I wrote so many blinds and it's reveal day weekend. So I hope everybody enjoys this whole thing. And I will do one next Friday because I think that we're not going to, I don't even remember when they're on vacation till. It could be 3 weeks. So anyway, I will talk to you guys later.